We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, this is Dirk Nowitzki, and you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
Let me step back for a minute, tired of the gimmicks. See, we just focused on winning. Ball in the airline center, we about to get litty. Luka carrying a torch, Borden jumped up on the porch. How you reckon with his force? Third season in the game, and he a legend by his fourth. Look, after Dirk, now the king of Dallas. Airline serving as the palace. Young team, and it's full of talent. Want revenge, we accept the challenge. Luka carrying a legacy. What it take to be an MVP? Being great, know it cost a fee. Know it really ain't that hard to see. Hold on, wait, silence the critics, cause they never did it. Pass out Jordan, I ain't woke up the city. Map shooting hot like we straight out the chimney. Go back to Batman, I'm calling them Drizzy. More triple doubles, I'm waiting on 50. Step back smoother, you know it's so filthy. If I get down on my team, gonna lift me. Rep the map, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, know we gotta get back. Know we gotta get back. Rep the map, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, know we gotta get back. Like, know we gotta get back. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. Tonight, we're doing things a little bit differently. Instead of being joined by my co-host, Matt Galatson, on this one, I'm joined by Taylor Peterson, who is a host for the Uncontested Podcast. It's an Oklahoma City Thunder podcast right here with us on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. And Taylor and I, we recap the Mavs' 87-78 win over the Thunder, and we gave positives and negatives for both teams from that game. We gave, you know, how we're feeling about each team's season at this point as we're close to the NBA All-Star break. Talked about some trade speculation stuff. We really got into a little bit of everything. So hope you enjoy this one. Again, this is me and Taylor Peterson from the Uncontested Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Hope you enjoy.
Everybody, thank you for tuning in. I think we have seven people in the room right now, or eight people now, which is awesome. We're just getting started. So this is a crossover podcast, Blue Wire podcast with the Uncontested OKC Thunder podcast, an NBA podcast, and the Mavs Step Back podcast, Dallas Mavericks podcast, and we're excited to break this one down.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, look, the first half of that game, we didn't really get NBA quality basketball, just to put it nicely, from both sides.
It was rough.
It was really – it looked like we were watching a G League game or a Summer League game there for a little bit, but it improved for the Mavs and the in the third quarter, and it didn't really get much better for the Thunder, unfortunately, y'all side. But
I joked around, Dalton. So I guess, first of all, this is Taylor Peterson. I'm one of the co-hosts here at The Uncontested, and we have Dalton Trigg of the Mavs Step Back. Yeah, like you said, it was pretty rough from the very beginning. It seemed like both teams kind of were maybe already on their way to the All-Star.
Yeah. Yeah, the Mavs, they've had such a time early on this season. You know, they started out okay, and then, as you probably know, they hit a really rough patch with a lot of their key guys getting COVID, and, you know, Luka, because the season started – a lot sooner than a lot of people thought. He was out of shape and had to work his way back into shape. And then KP, he came back from his meniscus injury. He didn't play the first 9 games of the season, had to work his way back. So there's been a lot, there's been a lot of times where the Mavs have been fully staffed, so to speak, and they've still been kind of disappointing. But overall, they have had a lot of reasons, you know, to underperform in the first half of this season. But for this team to be 18-16 going into the All-Star break and having won 9 of its last 11 games and, you know, fully healthy for the most part, I'm pretty thrilled about it. But
I think that's a good place to start. Yeah, I was going to say, even before we jump to this game, just specifically, because like you said, it was pretty rough all around. But, you know, obviously you guys didn't have Luka tonight. He sat out basically for rest. They call it, you know, him resting his back. But it sounds like he's going to be fine to participate this weekend.
Yeah. And also he was shooting threes. He was shooting threes after the game ended on the court.
He's feeling just fine. And I don't blame him. He deserves that rest, especially as you guys, like you said, it kind of transitioned to the second part of the season. But it's kind of funny you mentioned, you know, all the adversity that the Mavs have faced heading into this season, because the Thunder have kind of been the opposite. You know, this was a team, Dalton, that, you know, Sam Presti kind of, you know, they trade away all the stars, all the vets. You know, we trade away Chris Paul. We traded away Dennis Schroeder. We traded away Steven Adams. And right. It really was supposed to be about, and it still is to a large extent, about truly beginning what Sam Presti has really called the repositioning, which is essentially the rebuild, right? And not intentionally tanking, where you're like going out and trying to throw every game. That's not what we mean when we use the term tanking. That's kind of been a debate amongst Thunder fans this season, but just kind of almost naturally, right? We didn't expect to be competing like we are. And I think what we found is just the strong culture that this Thunder team and this Thunder organization has in place, combined with the coaching staff, the good job that they have done, and then just the great group of players that they have. This is a team, this Thunder team, that fights every single night, even if it didn't really look like it tonight. They really have surprised us. We didn't expect them to be playing this well heading into the All-Star break. So again, you know, tonight was kind of an abnormality, even if it didn't seem like it. You know, they really did not play their best brand of basketball, but I think that's kind of credit to the Mavs. So maybe that's a good transition here, Don, first kind of.
Yeah. Let's be honest. I mean, I didn't, with Luka sitting out, I think the last time Luka sat out a game, you know, the Mavs, they were playing the Chicago Bulls, and they thought that would be kind of an easy win. And they ended up losing to the Bulls by double digits in that game. So I was
really done. Thunder coach Billy Donovan there.
and look, going into this one, I was thinking, okay, this is probably a trap game because you guys lost your last game by 30 points, and you had the Thunder had 4 or 5 days off between then and now.
Right. So, you know, it's weird because especially during this weird basketball season, which is something, you know, another topic for both of our teams. You kind of mentioned this at the top of the podcast or top of our locker room segment here. But, you know, just this strange season of players having to quarantine and, you know, contact tracing. We haven't had three days off in between games all season. Yeah. And like you said, I think we kind of expected this team to be refreshed and ready to go and to come out swinging. But instead, they almost looked like they still were on break.
Yeah, and I mean to be fair to the Thunder too. I mean, I don't even think they thought that the Mavs would play as good of defense as they did in this one. Now, you know, the Thunder, they missed a lot of shots, but I think overall this was likely the Mavs' best defensive game of the year. It's right up there with that. They beat the Clippers by 50 very early on, and I think they held them to like 73 points or something. So this was a rare defensive performance, elite defensive performance.
Like you said, especially without Luka out, that was very interesting. So, like you said, probably a good transition here to kind of jump to some positives and negatives from this game for both teams. And obviously, so with the Mavericks beating the Thunder 87-78, an extremely just low scoring game, a grinder of a game. I think the Mavs defense is one of the first things that stuck out to me as well. And especially when you take into consideration, Dalton, their defense on Shea. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has just really taken a big leap for us this season. I mean, to the point where we went from saying, you know, is this a guy who is more of a 2B on a quote-unquote championship contender moving forward to, wait, is Shai actually making that leap to be a 1A or a 1B on a championship contender? But tonight, only 15 points, 5 of 15 shooting. And the thing that stood out to me the most about how the Mavericks were defending him, they really mixed it up on him. They threw a lot of double teams at him, which really threw off Shai, especially with your guys' length and versatility out there. The other thing that you guys did is you switched some on screens when there was another lengthy athletic defender who could switch and guard Shai. But there was other times where if like Josh Richardson, for example, would slip a screen and would stay on Shai, you guys really just continue to switch it up on him. And I thought it was a great defensive scheme against a guy like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's been fantastic this season.
Well, what they did, and you're right, Shea's been outstanding this year. Really liked him with the Clippers. And then when that trade went down, I was like, you know what? That's going to be one of those really good pickups for Sam Presti. But, I mean, they basically ran the defense that every other team has run against Luka this year, which is we're going to double him as much as possible, and we're going to force the rest of the guys on that team to beat us. And, you know, I'm just going down the box score here. Baisley, 2 of 8 from three. Dort, 1 of 5 from three. Only 1 of 9 overall. And that's probably my fault. I jinxed him before the game.
You did jinx him. You did it. It's okay.
I was saying I wanted the Mavs to trade for him. So, of course, he goes out and shoots 1 of 9. Horford, 0 of 3. Is it Mount 3? Maldon. I don't know how to say his last name.
Maladone. So we always said Maladone also, but we found out it is Teo Maladone. But you're right, Teo only 1 of 5 from three. Actually, the Thunder player with the most 3-point shots made on the team was Ty Jerome, who came back to us in the Chris Paul trade this offseason.
He was good. December,
it was basically fall, and he was he fought injuries quite a bit last season, with the Phoenix Suns, and then you know he got traded here. Then he tweaked his ankle at the very beginning of quote unquote training camp. It was much more of a rush training camp this offseason,
right.
And then so he really didn't play. I mean, we didn't even see him. You didn't really see him on the bench. You didn't really see any interviews with him. Well, all of a sudden the G League bubble occurs, and we finally hear of Ty Jerome. You know, he's going down and playing with the Blue. His first game with the Blue was a little rough, and he's really started to get it together. And then what happened is Hamidou Diallo, who actually has been a big spark for us off the bench this season and has been playing much more poised, as our uncontested listeners have heard us talk about, much more controlled and playing really well. Well, he tweaked his groin here a couple games ago. So they ended up calling Ty Jerome back up. And this was his third game with the OKC Thunder. And he really hasn't pressed, you know, and maybe this is another good transition to another positive. This time, the first positive, I guess, we're bringing up for the OKC Thunder being Ty Jerome. Ty Jerome goes from tying a career high against the Denver Nuggets last game with 15 points. Tonight he has 13 points, 5 of 7 from the floor and 3 of 4 from the field. Just really seems to fit really well with this Thunder squad, and it's a huge surprise for us Thunder fans when we, quite frankly, we weren't even sure if Ty Jerome was, you know, we joked about this obviously, but we weren't even sure if Ty Jerome was a real person heading into the G League bubble because we had never barely seen the guy. I thought he had a good game.
He definitely was. I thought that, you know, he was pretty much the lone bright spot for the Thunder out of this game.
You are not wrong.
Just because of how well he played in his 29 minutes. Yeah, I think right. Well, I think y'all might have something there.
You bring up a good point. Yeah, you bring up a very good point. You know, the fact that he got 29 minutes, you know, part of that, obviously, this is a season for the Thunder of you know, a kind of a trials. This is the season where you do throw out a guy like Ty Jerome and see what you have in him. We're kind of seeing that with Alexei Pokuševski. We saw it early on in the season when Coach Daigneault for the OKC Thunder would throw out Poku and just throw him into the fire and see what he's capable of. But also I'm sending him down to the G League bubble so he can get some more minutes with some more opportunity. We're also seeing that right now with Ty Jerome, where Daigneault has just kind of thrown him in, and they're playing him quite a bit of minutes right now, especially with Hamidou Diallo out, like I mentioned earlier, just kind of to see what they have. So I thought that was a positive that Ty Jerome has been playing so well and really seems to fit really well with this team. And they seem to potentially have something here. You know, a couple of our co-hosts, Justin and Jacob, had some post games in the past couple of nights, or I guess past week or so, where they have mentioned, you know, Ty Jerome's not really on any scouting report, so we have to take all this with a grain of salt. But he's doing things, I think, that even when he is being defended differently and being focused on, I think he's still able to improve on, still able to impact the game.
Yeah, and look, I think it's funny that you mentioned that this, you know, if there's a season where you throw a guy like that out there just to see what you have, it would be this season. And that's one thing that from our side, from the Mavs side, you know, a lot of Mavs fans get frustrated with Rick Carlisle because we had one of, you know, on paper, it seemed like one of the best drafts the Mavs have had in a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, aside from trading from Luka 2 years ago.
I mean, I was a huge Tyrell Terry fan. Speaking of which, uncontested listeners, just really quick, if you guys have not, be sure to check out the Mavs Step Back podcast because they had Tyrell on the pod.
Yeah, yeah, we had a good talk with Tyrell. He's with the Memphis Hustle in the G League bubble. And, I mean, he just recently injured his hand, so his last game wasn't that great. But up until that point, I mean, he was killing it. He was averaging like 17, 5, and 3 and shooting nearly 40% from 3. So he has something to offer there. Tyler Bay has been the best of all the Mavs rookies. He just had a 17-17 game the other night. They have – and Josh Green, I mean, he has something to offer too. So given how limited the end of the Mavs roster is, like – I don't know if you saw it, you know, I don't know if you're as focused on it as I am watching it from a Mavs perspective, but James Johnson, I'm in a group chat with a couple of guys, and I tend to be, like, if I ever have, like, a really negative take or I'm upset about something, I usually try to keep it in the DMs and not put it on the timeline. But I sent a DM tonight, and I was just like, you know, James Johnson is going to give me an aneurysm at one point because he cannot shoot the ball. And
hey, you're welcome for James Johnson, by the way, you know?
Yeah.
Former Thunder legend, played a total of 0 games for us. But he was on our roster before we traded him to you guys.
Yeah, and I mean, the shot is broken. I mean, he's an expiring contract. Right. You know, if you're playing him just for defense, I mean, I can see that. But I would much rather give those minutes to guys like Tyler Bay and
Josh Green,
absolutely, you know, who are defensive players who have upside. And it just doesn't seem to work that way with Rick Carlisle. Maybe that changes in the second half of the season. Maybe James Johnson ends up getting traded at the deadline because he could be a valuable expiring piece for somebody. But
yeah, no, absolutely, for a championship.
Good for you guys getting to know your young players.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. So Dalton, give me one more positive that really stuck out to you from the Mavericks side tonight. I'll do one more positive on the Thunder side, and we'll get into some negatives before we invite some of these people up to do some locker room questions.
Well, my other positive is Kristaps Porzingis because
I thought you were going to get into that because he looked much better.
Yeah, he's had an up and down season so far, but finished with 19 points, 13 rebounds. It's the kind of
15 from the field. I mean, almost
right. 50%. Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of game you want to see from KP, especially with Luka out. And the thing that sticks out to me too on the season, he's been a negative with his net rating. So like more times than not, just by advanced stats, he's been a negative more than a positive. And he was a team high plus 16 for the Mavs tonight. So he was giving you good stuff on both ends, and that's what really stuck out to me. That was a big positive for me.
Especially with Luka out, I mean, I think that's pretty huge. Obviously, teams are going to be focusing in on KP and then also Jalen Brunson when Luka is out. I thought both of those guys really shined tonight with Luka out, and it really kind of rose to the occasion.
Yeah. Brunson has been amazing this year. He's shooting 85% from the free throw line, but other than that, you know, he'd be on pace for – he's close to 50-40-90 efficiency. So he's been really good. Tim Hardaway Jr., we know what he can do off the bench for the Mavs here lately. Just overall, it was a good team effort from the Mavs with Luka out. I mean, they couldn't buy a three.
Well, that was the weirdest part. I mean, you guys are one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the league, and we're one of 19 at one point.
It was one of they started out 1 of 20, and then they went 7 of their next 20. So
they end up 8 of 40. So the Mavs on the night shoot 20% from three, and the Thunder, you know, shoot way better, a whopping 23.1% from three. So we got you guys on that stat,
and a final score of 87-78.
And see, I was hoping, you know, Thunder PR occasionally will tweet out a you know, the last time this happened kind of stat. They didn't do that tonight, and I don't blame them one bit, but I would love to know, and I just didn't have time before we did this podcast, would love to know the last time the Thunder scored under 80 points to end a basketball game, because I can promise you it's not very recent.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very low scoring. Somebody on my timeline said something about, well, the game from 2008 has ended.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Exactly. You would think that, like, Dirk and I don't even know who, like, Kendrick Perkins were just trading buckets, you know, in the paint all night. So just one more positive for me. We'll get into some negatives from both teams, and like I said, we'll get into some locker room questions from some of our listeners. We have quite a few in here. We really appreciate you all. So just really quickly, Théo Maledon, I don't want to dive into him, but he has been playing really well for us. And in a night where there wasn't a lot of points being scored, I thought Théo continued to play a poised game, especially for a rookie. Just today was announced alongside Lu Dort as a rising star for the world roster. Again, that game won't be played, but I thought that was awesome that Théo was recognized. And I think it just shows his potential. 11 points tonight on 5 of 10 shooting, only 1 of 5 from 3. He has a really nice stroke, but just kind of needs to – and really nice fluid motion, but really needs to just kind of gain some confidence. And we've seen that in spurts throughout the season where he does get that confidence going in a game from three and plays really well. Just wanted to briefly mention Théo, but I think the guy I'm going to bring up here in the quote unquote positive section is going to be, there's going to be a lot of Thunder and Mavs fans scratching their head when I say this, but I want to talk about Darius Bazley. And here's why. For all of our uncontested listeners who are listening to this, we've talked a lot about the roller coaster of a season that has been Darius Bazley. You know, he goes from having, you know, multiple double doubles and points and rebounds and playing efficiently to games like, you know, here about a week ago, I think the Spurs was the game he got it going. We played the Spurs last week, and you could just see in his body language, he just looked defeated, just standing in the corner with his hands down, completely disengaged, not high-fiving teammates, you know, almost a little immaturity in a sense. But what I love the most from Bazley tonight, Dalton, is, look, he didn't have like a stellar game by any means, but he started out slow again. And typically what we've seen is when Bazley starts out slow, I mean, you even tweet this out, you know, he was jacking from three, and he wasn't making them. But what he did is he drove to the rim. He drew a couple fouls, one or two on KP, and that kind of got him going. And what we saw was not him getting frustrated and discouraged, but it came out and was actually a really huge spark for the Thunder and a large, large reason they stayed in the game even as long as they did in that first half was because he didn't just, you know, put his head down and mope around. You know, he was determined to continue to impact the game on both ends of the floor. So that's growth on Bazley's side. And there's going to be games, I think, moving forward where we see Bazley have another 20-plus points and 10-plus rebound game. I just hope to see that more consistently. But tonight was finally a good step in the right direction in terms of consistency.
Yeah, overall, I like his game. He's a guy that I wanted the Mavs to take a chance on in the second round of that draft. And it just, you know, it never happened. But I think – if I remember correctly in pre-draft stuff, that was one of the knocks on him was the immaturity thing.
He didn't play college basketball. Maybe some Mavericks listeners don't know this. Just really quickly, you know, this is a guy who opted out. You know, was signed by Clutch Sports. I guess he signed Clutch Sports to be his representatives, not the other way around. He opted out of college basketball, didn't play overseas, took a quote-unquote gap year. There's actually a documentary about that, and interned at New Balance, where he was basically training in the mornings and evenings and working in a corporation during the day. And it came in, and last season was his first time playing organized basketball in like 2 years, or I guess a little over a year. And then, I mean, last year was, as everybody knows, certainly wasn't a conventional rookie season for any of the rookies. So basically, has had anything but consistency coming into the league, and it has been impressive to see what how he's grown, even with all those inconsistencies. I can't talk right now.
No, that's fine. Look, I really like his game, and I think, you know, the longer he stays in, and I think he's in a good situation with the Thunder, like you said, Sam Presti. He's been pretty open about this being a rebuild or a transitioning, you know, type of deal for them. So I think he'll be fine in the long run. But look, I want to point out one thing.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go ahead and point out my negative, because it just jumped out at me, because I've just been like staring at this weird box score. Mavs scored 12 points in the fourth quarter. Like,
interesting.
I can't.
It doesn't even seem. That's crazy, because it seems like they were in such control in the fourth quarter. Well, it wasn't even just that. I mean, the first half even was just. Yeah, that's interesting. It seemed like they were finally in control there. I mean, a huge third quarter for the Mavericks, and like you said, that fourth quarter they only scored 12 points. That's interesting.
Well, they had this thing where in their last game they beat the Orlando Magic, and they only won by 5, but they were up by like 17 or something like that with 4 minutes left, I believe. Yes. And they ended up only winning by 5. And, you know, it's the same thing in this one. I think they were up 22 at one point.
Yeah, yep.
And they just scored 12 points in the world. They just have trouble finishing sometimes. So
I mean, and that wasn't even and to your point, it wasn't. There was a certain point there in the fourth quarter where Dignault, you know, the Thunder playing the Spurs tomorrow night on a back to back. Dignault pulled the starters essentially outside of Théo Maledon and just kind of let that second unit, some of the third string guys, even run. And you're right, they were able to kind of score, and the Mavericks were not able to score against those guys. So that's certainly something worth pointing out. I'm with you there. I think the biggest thing I want to point out, the negative that sticks out to the most to me, you know, oftentimes I don't want to just go off like box score numbers, you know, sometimes I'm an individual players or things that don't show up on the box score. But tonight, I mean, we mentioned this for both teams, but for the Thunder, only shooting 29 of 87, 33.3%. And most importantly, 9 of 39 from 3, 23%. I mean, that's killer. And again, I tweet this out. I'm not saying this is true by any means, but it certainly seemed like two teams who were already thinking about All-Star break winking. And maybe that is a thing. I'm sure there was some of that there. I don't think that was necessarily the case tonight. Again, you have to credit the Mavericks defense, because they did a really good job of just slowing the Thunder's momentum early on. And I think that kind of led to them just not being able to break out of kind of the slump that they were put in due to the Mavericks perimeter defense. But still, this is not something we're accustomed to seeing this season. Like I mentioned at the top of the podcast, from this Thunder team. So I've got to say the shooting from the field, and specifically the three-point line, is a huge negative from the Thunder tonight.
Hey, y'all. I wanted to take a second to tell y'all about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other host.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcast experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. But that's bwhustle.com/join.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Given everything that has gone on in this season, I'm absolutely thrilled that the Mavs are two games over 500 going into this All-Star break. So for the OKC Thunder, 14-21, I mean, given the roster situation and everything, I mean, where are you at with them right now?
So, again, this is a good transition just kind of bring it back full circle before we invite the people on to answer some locker room questions. I'm very impressed with this Thunder team and this Thunder organization, and they're exceeding our expectations. I think there was an over-under that we had preseason here on the Uncontested, and we saw a line that somebody put out for like 23 total wins for OKC. And we thought, maybe you want to take the under there. And then here we are, like you said, almost about to surpass that here prior to the All-Star break. And the biggest thing there has been, obviously the steps of guys like, or the leaps that guys have made, like SGA, even Lou Dort, and just the cohesiveness of this team, bringing in vets like George Hill, who hasn't played for a while due to a hand thumb surgery procedure he had to have. But he played well with this team. You have Al Horford, who really is kind of like even when he's not putting up big numbers, he's kind of like the quarterback of this team. You have guys coming in off the bench and providing sparks. You know, we've seen Hamidou Diallo make a big leap in his game and how he has really gained control really of kind of his chaos, controlled chaos, and is able to use that to his advantage and provide a huge spark for this OKC bench. You have Kendrick Williams doing the same. And then you have young rookies that we didn't think were going to produce, like Teo Maledon, at producing so much this soon. On top of all that, you have Coach Daigneault coming in and just putting in a really solid offensive and defensive system that players from rookies all the way to the vets like Al Horford are following. So all that to say, I'm super impressed. They're exceeding expectations. I think this is what a true quote unquote tank. Again, there's negative connotations with that term in the NBA because you've seen Hinky and the Kings and the Knicks and so many other organizations who that's not even true tanking. It's just being a bad organization if we're calling it how it is. It's been very refreshing to see and fun to continue to follow this team.
Yeah. So, the good thing about this year, I don't know if they'll turn it around enough to get to this point. But one of the good things is if you get to that 10th spot in the Western Conference standings, you're in the play-in. So they're only four games out of that. Only four games out of that right now. You know, the Mavs, they're sitting at ninth, but they're really only, you know, a game and a half out of being in the fifth seed. So
right, exactly. And that's the Western Conference for you. But this is a Thunder team, and you know, with guys like Cade Cunningham and Jonathan Kuminga and Jalen Green. You know, you have all the Jalen Suggs. You have all this very impressive talent at the top of this draft as well as the next one. I would not be surprised, just kind of to wrap this segment of the podcast up, I would not be surprised, and we've talked a lot about this on the Uncontested, if Pressey is trading away some of those guys like George Hill, you know, Mike Muscala, who's had a really good season, some of these vets, and we just kind of see a natural progression back to kind of what we expected early on to give the Thunder a chance at getting one of those top five picks that could potentially be a franchise changer, you know, where we're talking about the next Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant kind of pairing. Not that it would be similar, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Yeah. And we did on the Mav Step Back podcast, we did a big trade primer about 3 weeks ago, I believe.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And the very last one we talked about on that pod was George Hill.
George Hill and the Mavs would be fun.
That'd be a sneaky get.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, all we would require is all of your young guys, as many picks as you guys have, first rounders.
with Sam Presti, I wouldn't expect anything less.
That is right. But Mark Cuban will not stand up for it. He'll come in and put an end to that.
Yeah.
That's really good stuff, Dalton. Again, I think a really good way to break down this game, but also kind of to wrap up this first half of the season for both teams. The Thunder do play the Spurs again tomorrow night. Do you guys have one more game as well?
No. This was the last game.
You guys are
officially on All-Star break.
There you go. Well, what do you say about us inviting some friends here? We have a 16 in the room right now. Hey, why don't you guys go ahead and request to speak, and we'll bring you up and answer some of your guys' questions. You can hear my doggy in the back, Brody.
Always good to have some dog friends.
That's right. All right. So, and I know some of our followers just joined joined Locker Room. Oh, here we go. Josh Pridemore would like to speak. Josh, I'm accepting you, and you're about to be in. Accept. All right. I accepted it, but it's taken a while to show up. That's weird. Okay, Josh, I'm going to invite you to speak now.
Let's try that. There we go.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now. You sound good. How's it going, Josh?
Okay. My question is, if George Hill doesn't get traded or any of the other pieces, do you still think the Thunder have a chance for a top five pick?
That's a really good question. Without going into major depth on that question, I'm going to say yes. Because we've seen how the Houston Rockets are. I think tonight's the perfect encapsulation of the Houston Rockets this season. You have Aldipa going for 33, John Wall going for 36, and they still get beat by 15 points. And that's not a knock on the Houston Rockets organization. You know, I think they're heading in the right direction as well after trading away James Harden. But the Thunder owned the best two of their own pick, the Houston Rockets pick and the Miami Heat pick. For this upcoming draft, which is a great position to be in. So if you have the Houston Rockets continue to perform poorly throughout the rest of the season, and then, you know, I highly expect even some other vets, even if it's not George Hill, to be traded away. I kind of assume the Thunder are not going to continue to outperform like they have been. I do think it is, and just all the other assets they have even outside of this coming draft. I would say, yes, it is still a possibility. The Thunder could end up landing a top five pick, but it may not be naturally. It might be Sam trading up to get that top five pick. That's a good question though, Josh.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I can't say too much about picks because the Knicks on the Mavs pick this year. So there's not much.
That's fair.
Anybody asks about fair. Mavs picks, then there's not going to be anything there.
Hey, you guys have your Luka. It's minor role players now, Luka. All right. Who is next? Somebody else want to submit a speaker request? We have quite a few in this room. I don't know. I know
Tyler's got a Mavs question in him. I see he just joined. Come on, Tyler. I'm believing you.
Oh, here we go. Tyler, there it is. There it is. I'm accepting. And there he is. Tyler, how's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, pretty good. How are y'all doing?
Doing good.
I actually do not have a Mavs question, Dalton. Sorry to disappoint you.
That's okay.
I actually wanted to ask a question about the Thunder.
I love it.
So, you know, obviously the Thunder bought very low on Al Horford. And when I say bought low, I mean the Sixers literally paid them to get rid of him. So with that being said, he's obviously had a rebound season. You know, I guess, A, what are the Thunder hoping to get out of him if they potentially trade him? And then, B, what do you currently see his value at?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a really good question. You know, surprisingly enough, there was a lot of Sixers fans who, after the trade, we saw them tweeting, and we're friends with some of them. You know, we know some people who cover the Sixers. They actually thought that the Sixers didn't have to pay nearly as much as they thought that the Sixers would have to trade off Horford's contract, which I found interesting. You know, we did trade them Danny Green, but he has kind of underperformed. But with all that being said, Horford has kind of had what you call resurgence. He fits with this culture more. And I encourage you guys to go and read the Chris Mannix article on Yahoo Sports where he kind of interviewed Horford, and Horford talked about the organization, how he fits and how he likes it. It's really interesting and provides some good insight. But with all of that being said, you know, I think the goal, like the highest goal that Sam Presti is going to set, is to try and get like a first round pick for Al Horford. I think the most likely situation is like some salary filler and maybe a couple seconds. Would be my guess. But there's a lot of people, a lot of Thunder fans and Thunder media who think that Al Horford may be more likely to be traded in the offseason. Again, when you have one less season or one less year on this contract compared to during the trade deadline. But if Presti could get off that contract now, that'd be pretty impressive.
And look, I mean, when it comes to Horford, I don't know how much you've kept up with the Mavs in recent weeks, but you know, we had that that drama with KP trade rumors, and you know, the Mavs, they didn't play for a full week, and then he missed the next three games coming out of that break.
But no, we weren't looking to trade KP, and
yeah, and there were actually some Mavs fans that were like entertaining the idea. I saw two or three people suggest, you know, even trading KP to OKC for Horford and some picks.
Oh my goodness.
Which,
hey,
I mean,
hey, so Presti was interested that that first draft that KP originally came into, like the year before he was actually drafted, it was rumored that the Thunder were either not only extremely interested in him, but potentially had, I don't know if they actually promised him, but they were very, very interested in KP, and he was going to fall kind of in their range. But then he opted out of that draft and came back 1 year later. So that is, you know, Presti is known to do some of those kind of projects, you know, Dion Waiters, Enes Kanter. I just went blank on Nerlens Noel was the most recent one. It would not be super surprising, but Presti's going to want to buy low, and that's where I think you're going to have the conflict between the Mavs and the Thunder on a KP deal.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Hey, Tyler, we appreciate it. Really good question.
Yeah.
I think we have one from one of my co-hosts here. Let's see. Speaker request, Jacob Niffen, from live from the grocery store, I believe.
I'm home from the grocery store now.
Oh, we're back. We're back.
We're all good. And I feel it's a little unfair that Taylor's getting all the questions and Dalton's getting none of them.
I know, poor Dalton. All the Mavs fans are super interested in the Thunder.
Yeah, so I will give Dalton a question then, so Taylor can sit back and listen for a second. Dalton, with the trade deadline, as of tomorrow, 3 weeks away, you mentioned that Mavs Step Backs, you guys have done a few weeks ago, a trade podcast. Do you expect the Mavericks to be aggressive at the trade deadline and be buyers, considering, like you guys have kind of mentioned, they haven't performed where they want to be, and they definitely want to make a playoff push. So do you think they're going to be buyers at the deadline, and what exactly do you think they're going to look for?
Well, I mean, it's a good question. It's a complex question because I want them to be buyers. I would expect them to be buyers given how, you know, undermanned they've looked at times if Luka's out, or you know, if Luka's teammates aren't really playing up to an acceptable level. So I think they really need to. I do kind of worry that this spurt that they've been on here recently, where they've won 9 of the last 11, will kind of give the front office some reassurance, like, oh yeah, we've got this thing figured out. We don't have to be too aggressive.
We don't have to waste
draft. Yeah. But I do think they'll end up making some sort of trade. I mean, I don't think it'll be a huge trade.
And Steven Wimbish in the chat, not to interrupt you, Dalton, but said Porzingis for Vucevic. That is that's
that interests me.
I actually really like that.
Yeah, no, Vooch has KP by about 5 years. He's 30, KP's 25. Yeah, but
that's the issue.
But Luka is a all NBA MVP type talent. And if you give him a guy like Vooch, who is consistent on a nightly basis, I'm very interested in. I know there'd have to be other moving parts to that, but I would definitely entertain a KP for Vooch trade. But one of the guys that I've been interested in for over a year now, and I've labeled him as a pipe dream trade target, is Zach LaVine with the Bulls. And I'm afraid
I mentioned this on the Uncontested. We asked here a couple weeks back, and not to interrupt you, Dalton, but we asked a couple weeks back for some prize, like some surprise players who will get traded. And I said, Zach LaVine. And what if he gets traded to the Mavs alongside Luka? So continue. You have me excited.
My worry with that is he's been so good this year that I almost wonder if he's played himself into that Bradley Beal tier, where it's like the Mavs, I don't know what kind of package they could put together that would actually entice the Bulls to trade him, unless he just comes out and says he wants to go play for the Mavs. So I don't know. I mean, we'll know a lot more in a few weeks as we get closer and teams start either winning more or losing more, and they'll have a better picture of what they're looking like in the standings. But that would be my pipe dream wish. I want them to get Zach LaVine if possible, even if it meant having to potentially trade KP. I mean, I would do that. Maybe something having Lauri Markkanen come back. In a trade like that,
I think he's a player in need of a.
Yeah, so I mean something like that, but on a lower level, I'm really intrigued by these rumors that have been swirling about JJ Redick, Kevin O'Connor from the Ringer. He said the Mavs have interest in him, and it really just depends on what David Griffin wants to get back from him. The Bleacher Report put out a hypothetical trade thing where it was like, the Mavs were sending Dorian Finney-Smith and Maxi Kleba to the Pelicans for JJ Redick in a second. I was like, there's absolutely no way.
Just look at the shooters. I love it.
there's absolutely no way that Kleba and Finney-Smith for JJ Redick, 35-year-old JJ Redick. But if they can do something like, you know, send James Johnson back to the Pelicans with a maybe even a second round pick or something like that, I'd be all for that. That would help out tremendously, getting a shooter like Redick next to Luka. A little bit more consistency there. So I appreciate
it. Jacob. That's good stuff. No, sorry. I was going to see if Jacob was going to say he dropped out. That's really good stuff. Again, this is both of our first time doing an actual post game here on Locker Room. You guys delivered. We really, really appreciate the questions. And Dalton, just thank you to you. You know, we reached out to you. You accepted the invite, and we decided to do a crossover pod. It went great. Great, great content. I really appreciate it. So just kind of recap the Mavericks in a grinder of a game without Luka and the Thunder team, who looks like they're already on All-Star break. The Mavericks beat the Thunder 87 to 78. The Mavericks are officially on All-Star break. Luka will be heading to Atlanta for the All-Star game and the skills challenge, I believe. And the Thunder have one more game tomorrow night against the Spurs. I actually am covering that one as well. So you Uncontested listeners are stuck with me again. But again, thank you so much, Dalton. Really, really great really great podcast, really good content. Uncontested listeners and Thunder listeners, non-Thunder or Mavericks listeners, be sure to check out the Mavs Step Back. Really great content by Dalton and his co-host. They just recently, like I said, had Tyrell Terry on. Just some really good stuff all around.
And y'all stay tuned for Tuesday of next week because we're having Mavs owner Mark Cuban on the pod.
So no way. That'll
be a good one.
That is awesome. Really cool. Okay, you have to do it on Locker Room so that way I can join and ask you questions.
I'll see what I can do. Awesome. Hey, worst case scenario, if we just do that one like a regular pod, Mavs play the Thunder next Thursday, so we may have to do this.
There we go. After All-Star break, we'll do it again. I love it. Let's do it. Blue Wire crossover pod as Laz of the Detroit Bad Boys podcast always says, Blue Wire family, you know? So I love it.
Absolutely.
We'll do it again. Well, thanks again, Dalton. We'll go ahead and end this. Both of us have to do a little post-production to make this in podcast form, and we'll be talking soon.
Yeah, sounds good, man. I appreciate it. And like you said, we'll do this next week.
I love it. Thank you again. We'll talk to you all later.
Y'all have a good night.
Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.